Welcome to the Self-Defined Human Podcast. I'm Michael Corman. This is a podcast about meditation, music, art, radical acceptance, a bunch of other stuff. I don't know what it's about. It's about so many different things, so many things. Today we're going to talk about meditation for musicians. That's the topic. I'm a musician. I'm a meditator. Let's put them together. So here's the thing. You got to understand that when I talk about meditation, I'm talking about something specific. I'm not talking about, the word meditation is, there's these connotations that it has that I don't like. I don't want that to be what's in your mind when you think about meditation, at least when you're talking to me about it. You know, go do your meditation somewhere. Have fun with it. Do whatever you want to do. It's fine. You can do meditation. Okay. This is specifically for musicians who want to, okay, look, classical musicians, okay? Classical musicians who want to, understand themselves better. Look, see, the thing is, like, I can explain this any way I want, okay? You're going to misunderstand. So I'm going to try something new. I'm going to try something new with the way I speak about this kind of thing. And I don't know how long this is going to last. It might not last long, okay? What I'm going to try to do is to be a little bit less confrontational, and I'm going to be more exclusionary, okay? And by that, I mean, I'm going to try to spend less time telling you how wrong you are, and I'm going to spend more time ignoring you, just pretending you're not here. If you're the kind of person to whom I'm not speaking, if you're the kind of person that I'm not trying to help, that I'm not trying to reach, that I'm not trying to communicate with, I'm going to pretend you don't exist. Okay, so starting right now, you are now shunned. Wow, it got quiet in here. I just felt the sound. Just, it's quiet. Wow. Okay. So to all of you who are left here, let's have fun. Okay, let's talk about meditation. So you know what meditation is. You know that it's about awareness and stuff like that. So let's do it. Okay, meditation. Why is meditation good for musicians? Now look, as a classical musician, you know, I've been through all the normal things that all the classical musicians go through, okay? All the judgment, all the shame, the blame, the guilt, all of that, all those things. These are the standard pedagogical techniques that they use in music. Music teachers do this. I mean, they learn to do this in music school. I mean, this is, they learn to do it by example. Their teachers do it to them. You learn it in books on pedagogy. They call it pedagogy. That's the word they use in music. They don't say teaching because whatever, they've got this insecurity complex that they've got. They have to use big words, make it sound really official. Meditation is something musicians should be doing. You know, musicians have issues with things like performance anxiety, with things like perfectionism, or with, you know, self-confidence, all that kind of thing. Meditation helps with that stuff. Music technique, piano technique. I know about piano technique because I'm a pianist. Also vocal technique. You have to meditate, okay? You have to. It's the only way, okay? If your body isn't doing what you want it to do, you got to dig into that. It's the only way to do it. There's just no other way, okay? You can't read a book on technique. You can't, you know, okay. I'm not going to try to sell the product here because you're already on board. We've already established that. You already agree with me. That's great. It's nice to have be in a room full of people who agree with me. I've never had that experience in real life. I've only had that on my podcast, right now, in fact. It's just like this is a new frontier for me. This incredible vista stretched out before me of possibility, limitless horizons. I don't even know what to do with this freedom. This is amazing. Like, I don't have to argue. Wow. I really don't know what to do with it. I'm just like, this is great. Great. You agree with me. You know. Okay, great. So we can just bash music teachers this whole time. Let's do it. Oh, music teachers suck, don't they? I hate them. Yeah. Yeah, Michael, they do. Yeah. Yeah. High five. Great. We're going to get along. This is going to be perfect. This is going to be like, we're going to be the best of friends. It's like I'm going to be Ross and you're going to be Chandler. It's just going to be fantastic. This is, I don't even know what to do. I'm like, I'm giddy as a schoolgirl. Wow. I have no idea. It's like, it's just total freedom. Meditation is, here's how you do it, okay? To meditate, all you have to do, it's very simple. You just sit there, set a timer. You know, I'm a big fan of timers. And you just sit there, okay? That's it. Now, if you want something a little more specific, you can find more specific techniques. I encourage you to experiment with techniques, okay? Don't just, you know, you don't have to be so attached to any one technique. Just try different ones. See what works for you because everybody's a little different and you might be different at different times. So try things. See what happens. See what happens. Meditation, another thing you can do, you know, you can just kind of watch your breath, okay? So like what I'll do is just like the feeling of the sensations, okay, of the breath going in and out at your nostrils. It works well, okay? Now, you got to try this, okay? It's not the kind of thing where you don't learn about it from a book, okay? I mean, you can read about it in a book, sure. But it's not the kind of thing where you're just going to understand it after reading about it or hearing me talk about it. You have to do it. It's a practice. It's just like learning an instrument. You can read all you want. That's not going to do it for you. It won't do anything. I mean, you know that. You have to really do it. You have to do it. It's the only way, okay? Because it's the act of doing it that teaches you. It's not the intellectual understanding. Intellectual understanding is only an echo of your experience. The experience itself is your teacher. That's where you learn things. You learn things by doing them, and you have that echo, okay? That's a byproduct of it. Ignore that. That's not important. What's important is the actual organic learning, okay? When you do things, you have experiences. You get rewarded for doing things. You get punished for doing things, okay? Your mind learns, what should I do? What shouldn't I do? That's how you learn. You're going to develop an understanding of that, but that doesn't matter, okay? There are animals that don't really have an understanding, but they learn, okay? You're still one of those. Like, you still have that brain inside you. This is the same way as when you learn music technique. It's the same thing. It doesn't matter what you understand intellectually. Music teachers love to talk about intellectual understanding. They love to just talk. Talking is stupid. Stop talking. Like, even when I'm talking, like this isn't planned. I haven't planned this. I thought about planning it. I'm not going to plan it. Planning is stupid. It's really... You know, you don't want to plan things. If you're planning, then you can't be spontaneous. You can't be honest. You can't be reactive to what's happening in the moment. And that's the only way that you can have an actual authentic expression of anything is if you're actually receptive to what's happening in the moment. That can't happen when it's all planned. So stop trying to plan it. The way that I'm speaking to you right now, this is language. I'm using language, but the language isn't anything. Like, the language is just language, okay? Don't listen to the language. There's energy that motivates me to speak. That means something. The energy means something, not the language. Who cares about the language? The words don't mean anything. I'm just echoing words that I heard other people speak. It doesn't matter. If I spoke a different language, the words would be very different, but I still might be speaking. Who knows? I don't know. Just ignore that. Ignore it. It's like when you play music, when you practice music, ignore the notes that you're playing. If you make a mistake, ignore it. It doesn't matter. I understand it's written on the page. It's written there, in ink, black and white. It's written. You play an F sharp here. You play a G here. I understand it's written that way. I understand your teacher will get angry if you don't play it that way. I understand people will laugh at you. I understand all of that. People are going to, they're going to threaten to throw you out. They're going to threaten to kill you. They could do these things. They could do them implicitly. Ignore that. Ignore that. That's the top layer. Ignore it. That's just you just wanting social approval. That's all that is. When you're talking about music, music is deeper than that. Music technique is deeper than that. The energy in your body, the mind-body integration, deeper. It's a deeper layer. That's the layer that you want to be focused on. If you're trying to, let's say you're trying to improve your technique, or you're just trying to connect with your body, that's the layer that you want to be operating on. That's the layer. This is the layer that you are accessing with meditation. It's the deepest layer. The layer that simply, there's no me. There's no me who's understanding anything. There's no language. It's deeper. It's about sensation. It's about energy. It's just about movement. It's just about tension and resolution. That's the layer you want to be operating on. That's the layer that you want to fix things on. You don't need to understand it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You don't have to understand anything. Stop trying to understand it. Stop trying to understand it. That's your ego. That's your ego. I'm going to repeat that over and over again. You don't have to agree with that. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all. I had a teacher say that to me once, that it was my ego. That's, I was a singing teacher. That's why I couldn't sing a high note. That's why my voice cracked on a high note, because of my ego. I had no idea what that meant. I didn't get it. Didn't understand what he was getting at there. Why would my voice crack because of my ego? What ego? Do I have an ego? Am I egotistical? Is that what I am? I don't think so. I didn't know what he meant. I get what he means now. I understand it. And yeah, it's my ego. That's why my voice cracked. It is. That's how it works. That's how it works, because it's a failure to commit to what you're doing. It's the commitment. The commitment is what matters. Commitment. 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 It's like you swing a baseball bat. You swing a golf club. You swing, 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 anything. You have to commit to it. You have to commit to it. What else are you doing? You're going to half-ass it? You just commit half of it? And then you stop in the middle? You can't do that. You have to go 100% all the way. Completely, completely. You inhale and you exhale. Inhale, exhale. When I say these words, I don't stop in the middle of the word. I could stop in the middle of a word, but that, what's the point of that? Why do that? Don't do that. Don't stop in the middle. You just do it. Do it. But why do we stop? We stop because of why we stop. There are reasons why we stop. That's what's meant by ego. It's why you stop. What's going on there? What's going on? What's making you stop? Because you have a concept, you have a self-concept. That self-concept is what makes you stop. It's what gets in the way. When you say things like, oh, I've got performance anxiety, or like I'm a perfectionist, or I don't trust myself, or I don't, you know, just let myself do things. Because that's why. Because you have an ego, you have a self-concept. The self-concept is what stops you. Because you're doing something else, you're trying to do two things at once. You're not just doing what you claim to be doing. If you claim to just be playing music, if you claim to just be singing, you would just sing, you would just play. That's it. That's all you would do. But no, you don't do that. You put something else in there. What is it? You got to look at yourself, see what you're doing, see why you're doing the things that you're doing. Because there's reasons for these things, and you can connect with them. You really can. Like, if you really look at it closely you look at it. Just close your eyes and notice why you're doing what you're doing. Like, where's that impulse? Where's the urge come from? What happens if you don't give in to the urge? You just don't. You just have the urge to do something and you don't do it. Have you ever tried that? Try it. Experiment with that, because there's things you're going to learn about yourself when you do that. You can't change your music technique just by, you know, I say meditation for musicians. That's like a funny name. You know, it's like I think about it, like, well, who's attracted to this? Who's going to be listening to this episode, right? So if you're like a fan of mine, you might listen to it because you, oh, Michael has a new podcast episode. Great. If you're an enemy of mine, you might listen to it. Oh, great. Another podcast for me to hate on. If you are a musician who doesn't know anything about me, but you see this title, Meditation for Musicians, I don't know if that's going to be the title. I don't know. That's my working title right now, but I might come up with a different one later. But if that's what you see, it's like, what's going through your head there? Musician. What does that mean? Like musician. Like I said, classical musician. Is somebody who's not a classical musician going to want to listen to this? Probably. Is what I'm saying apply to them too? Of course. Of course it does. Now, I say I'm a pianist and I talked about singing. Does this apply to other people too? Of course it does. Okay, fine. So factually, it's correct, right? Meditation for musicians. That works. But who's going to be attracted to it? Who's going to want to hear it, right? If you see that title, are you going to think, like, what does meditation mean? What is that? What's meditation? People have, there's a definition, a concept. They have an idea of what meditation is. You know, do I want to be attracting those people? People that have a sort of mainstream conception of what meditation is? Not really. Because for most people, meditation is about, I don't know, it's about relaxing. It's about, you know, kind of taking it easy, kind of just, you know, some me time, self-care, you know, just inhale, exhale, just let it all go. You know, it's like nap time. That's meditation. Or maybe there's like crystals. Maybe you've got a dream catcher of some kind of bells or something. I don't know what you have. What does that have to do with meditation? Nothing. In my mind, nothing. But I understand that's the popular idea of meditation. I get it. I get it. But that's not what it is. Okay. Meditation is about deep self-exploration. It's about coming to terms with reality as it is. The reality that's right here, right in front of you, right in front of your eyes. The thing that you can't avoid seeing it. It's just right here. So you just like sit there and you watch it. You just let it play itself out. See, the mind is incredible. The mind can just do this stuff. The mind can, it'll take that stuff in and it will just synthesize it and it will understand connections in reality, cause and effect relationships that you might not be aware of right now. But when you sit and just watch what happens, you start to see these things. You just see it. You know, it's like you're in a crowded room. You're in a shopping mall and there's like hundreds of people walking by. And at first it's just this undifferentiated mess. You don't know what anything is. But when you start looking, you start to see there's patterns. You know, you see people, you know, going in a certain direction. Maybe they're talking to each other. You see things. You see relationships between people. You see things happening. There's certain stories that start to pop out. You start to ask yourself questions. Well, what is that? What is that person doing? Huh, I wonder. That's what you see. And the mind just does it automatically. You can't make it happen. It just does it. It just starts coming up with things. It's crazy how it happens. These images start just showing up. Explanations, whatever they are. You start to see them. And that is what meditation is for. You know, you want to know why you have trouble playing music. Well, that's why. Okay? This is why your technique sucks. Because you're not understanding it. You're not understanding how the body works, how the body moves. You're not understanding how that interacts with the music itself. You're not seeing those things. And what's worse is you probably are deluded about what you are seeing. You know, you've got that pesky ego that's in the way, that's saying, well, no, I can't make a mistake. I can't take that risk. Because why? Because something will happen. Because you interconnect, you interleave it with yourself. Self, self. If I take a risk when playing music, I might fail, and then my teacher will get mad at me. And then what? Then what happens? Then I'm a failure as a musician. Then maybe I shouldn't be doing music. Maybe I should quit music. These are self-concepts. It's a story you're telling about yourself, and it's all wrapped up in what you're doing. So you got to understand this, that you're physically not clear on what you're doing. Physically, you're all over the place. Because why? Because you're worried about whether you should be a musician. Like, that's what you're worried about. And that's making it hard for you to play music. Do you understand that? Like, you got to really look at that, because that's where it is. That's where this liberation is when you see that it's interfering with your physical behavior. Physical behavior. You can do this, okay? You can do it. Ignore the teachers. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't. Don't take my word for it. Please do not take my word for it. You have to experiment on your own. Explore this on your own, because the answers are within you. They're not in me. I don't know anything. I know nothing. You know everything. You're the creator of the universe, okay? So get used to it. You can figure this out. You have to explore it. You have to explore it on a deep level. It means you have to really pay attention to what's happening. Like, you have to just like sit there and really pay attention. So, you know, when you're playing music, you can do this too. When you're practicing, you just close your eyes. You don't have to close your eyes. You decide. Pay attention to what's happening. Try to find the subtlest movements possible. Try to move the least amount you possibly can. You want to try to subtract behavior as much as you can. See, like, get to the essence of what it is that you're doing. That's where it is. That is where it is. It's not anywhere else. It's not in these, like, it's not in the concepts. Like, the concepts are just concepts. They're things you read in a book. If they say, well, when you play the piano, you know, curve your fingers. Like, what are you talking about? Curve my fingers. That's a concept anyway. It means nothing. Fingers can't be curved, okay? Your fingers are made of line. They're like, they're straight lines, okay? The bones in your fingers. What curve? What does it mean? It means nothing. It's a concept. Music teachers love to cling to these concepts. They love it because it gives them such a sense of stability and security. Like, they know what they're doing. They know what to say. They know what to tell their students when, you know, and musicians love this. I mean, as players, you know, when you're practicing, when you're performing, whatever, you see, well, it didn't go well. Oh, okay, I know why. My fingers weren't curved enough. Or, if you know, you say, well, I'm a bad pianist. I'm just bad at piano. Why? Because my fingers aren't curved enough. I can't get that to happen or whatever. I don't know. All of those things are conceptual. They're only conceptual. Okay, that there's nothing there. I want to be like emphasize this 100 times. There's nothing there. That's worthless knowledge. It means nothing. Especially when you compare it to the knowledge that you gain from actually paying attention to your real physical experience. That is where all of the wisdom is gained. Now, unfortunately, they don't talk about this. This is not part of the standard way of teaching music. It's not. Okay, so you're not going to hear this anywhere. If you maybe learn about something like Alexander technique, they'll talk about it. Okay, so you could start there. That might be a good place to start with this sort of thing, because that's a, you know, they do a lot of work with musicians, and it's helpful to a lot of people. And that's one of the things they do in Alexander technique is, you know, you sit there and you don't move. You have an urge to move and you don't. I don't want to advertise Alexander technique. I don't want to be pushing that on you, because I have my problems with it. Alexander, okay, I don't even want to go there right now. Okay, but listen, as long as it's just you and me, okay, so I can speak freely because they're not listening. So the thing with Alexander technique is it is kind of these people, like, they're damaged, okay? Like, as people, as individuals, they are really, I you know, it's it's happened to me. I've seen these people. I've seen them, and I know what's going on with them. They have issues. So, but Alexander himself, really, really smart guy, I think, you know? He really seemed to know what he was talking about. I mean, he was seeing this stuff. This was, you know, this was not, I don't think he had any exposure to Buddhist meditation or anything. I don't think he did. But he managed to come up with a lot of it on his own. And yeah, it's worth looking into. If you can find a good teacher, I guess, or try it on your own. I'm a big fan of doing things on my own. I love to do things on my own. I don't trust teachers. Teachers, you know, look, they don't use them and then discard them, okay? Take what you can get from them and then throw them in the trash. All teachers. You can throw me in the trash if I'm your teacher. I don't care. Please do. Please get rid of me. That is exactly what I want. All teachers should want that. They should want to be discarded. Because what's the alternatives? You have this dependence, like the student is dependent on you, and you're dependent on the student. That's crazy. It's just crazy. I mean, it's. But this is, you know, you see this everywhere. Like, these are the dynamics that are happening in music. I'm emphasizing this because it's important. It's important that you see this so that you understand that you're not the crazy one. They're the crazy ones. You see that? So if you're going to say to me, Michael, I don't practice. You know, I didn't try my best. I didn't, you know, I knew better. I made a careless mistake. No, you didn't. You didn't make a careless mistake. Your mistakes exist exactly because they should exist. They should. Now, your teacher told you that the mistake shouldn't exist. The teacher said, oh, be careful. No. Oh, that should be, no, you should play softer there. Oh, be careful. You know, you use the wrong finger there. Be careful. These people are full of it. They are. They don't understand anything, okay? You should feel bad for these people. Nod and smile. Just don't get caught up in it. Don't get caught up in them. They have their issues, okay? This is like deep trauma that they're dealing with. I mean, why would you tell a musician to be careful? Like, what, really? Really? That's how you play music? You be careful? To me, carefulness has nothing to do with it. Like, that's not part of it. There's no carefulness that happens in music. Like, I try to find the least careful ways of doing things. Okay, so I came up with a rule at one point, which was just if the easier way to do it is the right one. Okay, if there's a way to do it that is difficult but sounds better, if there's a way to do it that's difficult but is more correct, and I compare that with a way that's easy but sounds bad, a way that's easy but is incorrect, the easy one is better. That's the correct one. Okay, easy is always better than hard. Always, 100% of the time. So carefulness has nothing to do with it. If you're being careful, you are doing it wrong. That's by definition, you're doing it wrong. Try that out. Try that. Like, you got to try these things. Don't just listen to me and agree or disagree. It's not about that. If anybody says to me, hey, Michael, I agree with you, I'm going to say, did you try it? And they say, no, but I agree with you. I like what you're saying. I'm going to say, get lost. Get out of my life. Okay? You're nothing. If somebody says, Michael, I disagree with you, and I'm going to say, did you try it? And they say, no, why would I try it? You're wrong. I'm going to say, get lost. Get out of my life. You're worthless to me. You're a worthless piece of garbage. Okay? That's what you are. If you just listen to me and agree or disagree, I have no use for you as a human being. Okay? I only have use for people that are actually going to engage on this subject. And the only way to do that is to do it. We're talking about music practice. We're not talking, it's not just an intellectual conversation. We're not just like looking up words in the dictionary and seeing if we can agree on what they mean. I mean, who cares? blah, 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 blah. Doesn't matter. All that matters is what you're doing. Do it. Do it. I'm serious because I know you're not doing it. I know you're not going to do it. So prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Prove me wrong. Seriously, do it. Come on. Like, send me a video or something. Show me. Show me. Show me how something was easy, it was hard for you, and then you made it easy. Show me how you messed everything up because you made it easy. And tell me, say to me, Michael, that was hard, and now it's easy. But it sucks, but it's easy. Great. Like, that's what I want to see. That's progress. Because you've now done something. You've done something. You've changed the way that you're playing. You're carving out a new path. You're creating something that wasn't there before. Maybe it's good. I don't know. But see, now you have a new option. You know, and again, your mind is going to synthesize it. It's going to, once you see the options. The reason people struggle with this stuff and they get so frustrated and they get so like, I can't do it, is because they don't see the options. Once you see the options, then you're going to pick the one that's right. It's going to happen automatically. You don't even have to try to do it. This is what happens when you start paying attention to things. That's what you need to be doing all the time. Musicians spend too much time obsessing over being correct according to what's written on the page in black and white symbols. The symbols are imperfect. They don't mean anything. Like, they're just, it's just this, such a rough approximation. Music is not symbols on a page. That's not, I mean, come on, really? Of course not. Music is something else, you know? Music is, you know, you could say it's about, maybe it's about sound, maybe it's about movement, maybe it's about energy, maybe it's about feelings. I don't know. But it's not about symbols on paper. Like, what? Like, those are just words. That's not, you can't, I mean, you know that. You cannot, you barely can capture anything like that. Well, I say you know that, but look, this is what we do. In music school, this is what's taught. It's taught that the symbols are of prime importance. And so, you know, you'd be forgiven for thinking that there's some truth to that, but there's no truth to that. The symbols are made up, they're arbitrary, they don't mean anything. What means something only, always, is your experience, your personal experience. I mean that literally. This is not just like, oh yeah, you just make up your own mind. No, like, really look at your experience. You don't know what I'm saying, because you're not looking at your experience. Your experience. There's people that I know are going to give me such a hard time for this. And I can pretend that they're not here and that they're not listening, but I know they are. I know they are. If you go back a couple episodes, there's an episode we did about yoga. My guest in that episode is now giving me a very hard time on Instagram and Facebook, because she feels a need to assert her independence from me. Well, good luck with that. Good luck with that. We are now engaged in a feud. Okay, we're gonna do a public feud, if that's the way it's gonna be. I don't know. Let's see what happens next. This is just a, I don't know. I don't know if this is just gonna be a preview, if this is just a foreshadowing of what is to come. I don't know what's going to happen. But listen to it. Listen to that episode and then see what happens. Follow me on Instagram if you're not. At no.michael.here. There's no Michael here. What? What? How can there be no Michael here? There's no Michael here. Where's Michael? I don't know. Rate, write, review, whatever for this podcast, because I want to read it. Nobody does this, okay? I've got like one review on Apple Podcasts or whatever. Like, nobody's doing it. So, again, like, whatever. I feel like I'm just talking to a wall sometimes. You should feel guilty about this. You should feel ashamed. You should. You know, if that's going to motivate you into action, then I'll try a guilt trip. We'll try the Jewish guilt. We'll see. No, don't worry about me. I'll just talk to a wall. No, it's okay. You know, you got better things to do. You do. I'm okay here. I don't need to know what people think about this. I don't need to, none of it. It's true. I'm not saying this just to guilt you. No. Don't worry. You're more important than I am. You are. Well, classical music sucks. The people suck. Totally suck. I don't know how I got wrapped up in that. You're the worst. Ugh. I do not know how I got wrapped up in it. It just happened somehow. See, like, I liked the music, right? So I got involved in the music, and then it's just, well, those were the people there. So I was like, well, guess I better make friends with these people. Ugh. That was a mistake. Because I have that ability, you know, as an INTP in the Myers-Briggs system, like, I have this ability to just, you know, I don't have a personality, right? Like, I just kind of merge, I don't know. That's what I do. So for me, sure, I'll be friends with you. You seem nice. I'll be nice. We'll be friends. And then what happens? Then we have this COVID-19 pandemic. And then people's true colors start showing, which is, it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. But it's difficult because, you know, all my friends are not my friends anymore. Because they're horrible. Because they're classical musicians. They are the minions of Satan. That's what they are. They're the people who killed Jesus. They are Hitler. They are the Salem witch trials. Same people. So these are the people. That's what they are. I'm not saying that this is not a judgment. This is the reality of it. Okay? They care more about something else. They're not interested in the music. Okay, they're not interested in the music. They're not interested in, you know, look, I'm naive. I thought that it was about that. I did. What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about classical music? What should we do? What should we do? Us people who care. Us? We? What do I say? We who care about classical music and also about things like understanding our own reality. So basically, people who are musicians and also meditators, what do? Because we occupy a strange place. Because classical music is not about meditation, it's not about insight, it's not about awareness, it's about obedience. It's about tradition. It's about adherence to cultural norms and standards and rules and regulations. It's about making sure that you know your place, about making sure you don't step out of line, about making sure that you understand the status hierarchies. Status hierarchy where you, as a student, are below, well, actually, at the bottom of the hierarchy is probably the average person who doesn't know anything about classical music. They're at the bottom, and then maybe the students are above that, and then you've got the teachers above that. And then maybe above that, you have the performers, and then above that, you have the conductors, I suppose. I don't know. Above that, you have the gods of music, the pantheon. You've got Mozart, you've got Beethoven. You got Brahms. And then above them all, Johann Sebastian Bach. The Lord Almighty. I love him. He's great. Okay. He's one of my favorites. Maybe my favorite. But come on, he's not a god. Give me a break. He's a dead guy. Just like all the other dead guys who have ever died. He's one of them. And I'll be one of them someday. And you'll be one of them someday. And none of this will matter because we'll be dead. All of those status hierarchies will collapse. All the rules and regulations will dissolve. They will become meaningless. This will all be forgotten. It will be as if it never existed at all. And here we'll be, dead, floating in the ether, disintegrated. Well, your piano teacher doesn't care about that because they only care about status. Try to keep it in perspective, please. Talk to you next time.